rightly that in the context of 14 through 27, and there we read the word of God, and when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. A dispute also rose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. So verse 15, then, I have earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Your beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we want to take another look at our text, Luke 22, verse 15. And this morning, in the context of the passage that we have read together from John chapter 13. The foot washing by our Savior can, in fact, be placed between Luke 22, verse 14 and 15. Although Luke does not mention this foot washing, he does make reference to the unbrotherly spirit of contention between the apostles as to who was the greatest among them. He mentions it only after first completing the narration on the institution of the Lord's Supper. In John 13, then, we are told that the Lord Jesus had cutting up during the Passover, during that meal, to teach his apostles a much-needed lesson. With that foot washing and those words of exhortation, the Savior addresses his apostles, who with their contentious arguments had become prey to such serious sins. He did it in order to prepare them for the service of the word and sacrament, the proclamation of the gospel and the administration of the sacrament. And that's how he, their Lord and Master, carried out the service that they had refused. He washes the feet of these quarrelers, these sinners. He who had not come, not to be served, but to serve. He had come, not to be served, but to serve. Well, he indeed serves here. To put them to shame. To make them repent. And to teach them something with a view to the future, with respect to their future office. He gives them here an example for them to follow. And after performing this menial, this humble task of foot washing, he reclines once more at the table, without, however, continuing the Passover meal, but to do what he had intended to do, to institute the Lord's Supper. No, first of all and foremost, he wants to place the apostles under the power of that word of God. With that foot washing, he did not only visibly manifest that much needed spirit of humbleness in the church, but also wanted to disclose to them the importance of his word, so that there will be no misunderstanding. And among other things, he said to them in Luke 22, verse 26, the greatest among you should be the younger, or the least, and the one who rules like the one who serves. And I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, beloved, that is how our Lord and Savior addresses the apostles and through them, the church, with his word of grace, which diagnoses and which heals. The apostles need to detect, to discern their sins. They really need to know the depth of the sin that they had just committed. And what they therefore now need more than anything else is that healing word of grace. And that's how Christ, the Savior, holds on to them, keeps them in his grace. And that's now they are also confronted with the significance and emphasis on that new sacrament. And as such are now led to that sacrament itself. And that's how he speaks in that tense situation. Amidst the quarreling, the conflict, those redeeming and wondrous words of our text. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And beloved, that eager desire is still there for us today. No sin, no weakness that still remains against our will can prevent the Lord Jesus from expressing his eager desire to have a sit with us, with you, at his table. Cannot prevent God from receiving us in grace as worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. For a certainty then, our Savior's eager desire means nothing but grace, undeserved favor. But let it then also be known that it is his eager desire to heal the wounds caused by those contentious conflicts, also via that sacramental fellowship meal. It is his eager desire to strengthen our resolve to stop those conflicts and to head them off in the future. And finally, he eagerly desires to confirm and to strengthen the bond of communion, of fellowship, of peace that we have with him and therefore also with one another. So, beloved, see here our Savior's eager desire that we sit at his table, that he is with you, to whom you belong. Well, would you not agree that it expresses nothing but a wonder of grace, that it is nothing but a clear expression by the Savior of an undeserved favor? A favor then which will also then motivate us, is it not, to humble ourselves before him and before one another? And is that not what we are going to express also by attending his supper? For we have learned, is it not, that it is his fervent, his earnest, his eager desire to reveal that threefold theme to us. Remember, it is that same threefold theme as expressed also in the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The first one is and was he with us. The second was and is we with him. And the third one is, as a matter of course, it cannot but be we with one another. Amen.